the best coaches in the game. We really ain't playing. We regroup up in the Slack chat where the coaches debrief. We be piecing these puzzles, occupy the chunk of the pie. Ain't no lie when we hit the block, helmets casket is top. You be seeing helmet after helmet, helmet after helmet. First place, second place, fifth place, eighth place, 12th place, 15, 16, 20. So many helmets, you got blurred vision, we got...
What's up, everyone? Welcome back to the Bold Call Fantasy Football Podcast, brought to you by DFS Army and sponsored by Drafters. My name is Kevin Allen. I am your host today, and with me is always the Encyclopedia Footballica, a man with more rookie NFL player football knowledge in his little finger than most of us have in our entire body season long. Says, what's up, my man?
All right, man. No, it's good to be back doing this. You were away last week, so I miss you. And people were clamoring, knocking down the door for a Bold Call podcast. And the rookie Superflex mock draft that we're doing today is going to be interesting because all the pro day numbers are in. We haven't yet had the draft. Obviously, that's in 2 weeks, but it'll be interesting to do the draft today and then look at it again after the landing spots have happened.
Absolutely. So you spoiled it right there. I was going to let people know today the topic of the show is going to be Dynasty Rookie Superflex Startup Mock Draft. Now, that sounds like a lot of words.
So no startup, because a rookie draft insinuates that it's already...
That's right. Dynasty Rookie Draft. So I wanted to go over what my favorite format for fantasy football currently is. I want to tell you a little bit about why Dynasty Superflex is my absolute favorite format. And I'm going to go into all of that here, and we'll talk a little bit about that, and also the strategy for winning this style of league, the best style of league. But, of course, before we get into that, I want to talk about Drafters, our sponsor for this show. Drafters is an awesome new DFS site that has basically two forms of daily fantasy sports that you could play there, one being a snake draft style and the other being a what they call a rank'em style. And mainly, we already know kind of what the snake draft is. They have best ball leagues for NFL. They have current best ball leagues going for this NFL season right now, giant tournaments. But they also do nightly snake drafts for NBA and MLB and whatever sports are in play, as well as a rank'em game for both NBA, MLB, whatever sports are in play. And here's one of the things I'm just going to say. I mean, go get over there. You can sign up with promo code DFSArmy. You'll get a 25% deposit match on however much you put in there. And it's really...
You put in $100, you get an extra 25 to play with, you know?
25 to play. But here's the thing, and this is what I really want to talk about. Guys, I have a lot of people come to me because, you know, as part of DFS Army, we really do focus a lot on the various DFS sites, of course, FanDuel, DraftKings, the big sites. And people tell me, well, it's hard to win over there. Guys, if you're having a hard time winning on DraftKings, and the sharks are swimming constantly. Sharks do not play on a site like Drafters. It takes more time to snake draft. There's fewer entrants. And this is the absolute opportunity to play DFS, to play daily fantasy sports with a real edge where you don't have to go up against sharks. You don't have to go against predators. You can really, really shine in this format, especially if you're a DFS Army subscriber and you have our tools, you have our projections. You can shine in this format. So I can't stress this enough. Don't make it harder for yourselves. Make it easier. The snake draft format, you can really have an edge here. There's no sharks. They're not going to take the time to snake draft. So you spend a little bit of extra time, and you could really be winning in daily fantasy sports. So get in there. Check out Drafters. Sign up with promo code DFSArmy. Get that free money. And go have some fun and start winning already. All right. Now, that being said, I want to talk about Dynasty Superflex. Guys, and here's a great thing. Alan and I are in some leagues together, so he knows this. You guys know me. I play a lot of DFS. I'll have thousands of dollars riding every single night on lineups that I make and forget about. I can't tell you how much joy I get from my dynasty leagues, how much time I put into thinking about it, how I'll stare at my rosters, okay? And I'm in three or four of these right now. I refuse to get into like really cheap ones, as you know.
Yeah, there comes a time in every fantasy football players where they kind of, you know, they still are always going to play in their redraft leagues, but you grow out of it a little bit. You evolve as a fantasy player. And there's a reason why Dynasty Fantasy Football is the fastest and most interesting. It's growing. it's a whole different game, and we all make so many mistakes, but those mistakes have long-term ramifications. Right now, and if you're watching this, if you're listening to this podcast, you are a hardcore fantasy football player, because it's still before the draft, NFL draft. It's April. So whoever's out there listening understands the obsession, the addiction, but maybe they need a little bit more information. They're starved for dynasty content, and that's what we're going to be doing today. Many of you, you're in your dynasty leagues or you're thinking about it, and every year what they do is you have the only way to improve your team is through trading and through the rookie draft. There's usually, in the deeper leagues, there's no waiver wire.
Let me explain it for the people who have no idea.
Okay, sure.
Exactly how this format works. So Dynasty, there is a format called Keeper League where you'd do a standard redraft and you'd keep a couple of players each year. And that evolved into, you know, more keepers each year. And eventually we've evolved into what's known as a Dynasty League. Now, one of the reasons we can do a Dynasty League is because, you know, there's a few apps right now that just really allow for it. Well, Sleeper app is the one we prefer, not a sponsor of the show, but we really like it. And they allow your settings to carry over from year to year. Now, what's Dynasty means you draft a team, you do a startup draft, as they say, and then that's it. You have an initial draft when you first get into it. Those players will be your players forever. And then every year you have what's called a rookie draft, where the entire league drafts rookies from the NFL draft. Really, really important. Now, the settings that are really critical to make this league awesome. Number one, Superflex. Cez and I agree that if you're not in a super flex league, you're in a shitty league, right?
Yeah, if you're in a one QB league.
Yeah. That's what super flex means. Two QB or the ability to hold two. And both of us agree. Yes. Well, sometimes you don't need. I mean, it's super flex. You put a tight end over there, but
no, it's the ability to start. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I mean, but everyone who's watching this podcast knows what super flex is.
I don't know if they know or not. But we agree that that is the only format of fantasy football to play. Your league is lame if they're not doing this. And the reason is because we figured out years ago, and the way I used to dominate my leagues in the 2000s, right?
For
in
the 2005,
six, seven, up until about, you know, not that long ago, was we figured out that there's no scarcity to the QB position. Yet the QB as a player is the most popular sort of brand name player on a team. So usually when you're in a league with a bunch of NLMs, as they say, now I'm going to say what that means. When you're in a league with a bunch of NLMs, they all want to take Peyton Manning in the first round or Michael Vick first pick overall, or, you know, these kind of like superstar fantasy quarterbacks back in the day.
Man, Matthew Berry's never going to live the Michael Vick one overall.
No,
and I feel bad for the guy. I feel bad.
No, he shouldn't outlive it because it's embarrassing. Or the Peyton Manning after his crazy year in Denver, first round pick. But everybody at that point already knew. And so you had these sort of analysts who were giving bad advice about taking quarterbacks early. And we were able to dominate our leagues by just waiting on that position. And you'd have one stud advantage on the rest of your league mates, usually when you did it. But it discounted the most awesome position, which is the quarterback position. So super flex with two quarterbacks, the world changes. The quarterback becomes the most important player on your team. You need two great ones or two really good ones on your team. And it removes the ability to just ignore them for the entirety of the draft.
It's illustrated by this point. Think about this. So like if you took like the QB like 18 or the QB 20, just say someone like Derek Carr, right? I mean, he would be ranked around QB 17 to QB 23 in most rankings. Where would Derek Carr rank if you were going to rank him among wide receivers in PPR leagues? He'd probably be wide receiver 10, wide receiver 11.
Maybe better than that.
Right. So that's the point, is even a low-end quarterback is going to be better to start in that super flex, air quote, than one of your better players, who you're obviously going to need for your other positions. So now, that's why the quarterback position is so important in super flex leagues.
Now let's expand that out to the dynasty concept, right? A great quarterback can provide you with 10, even 15 years of excellence on your team. In the dynasty format, that is worth its weight in gold. If you've watched these Bold Call podcasts before, and anytime we've ever talked about dynasty, we've explained your average running back, he's got a window of about 3 years. right?
If you're lucky.
Three, four seasons. And all of a sudden, some shit happens, right? There's the
I'd venture to say that your running back is seasonal. It's season to season.
It's almost season to season. Like, it's not, I'm not going to go that intense, but yes.
Well, look back at the running back dynasty rankings from 2 years ago. Not, like, Todd Gurley, gone.
You know? So many names gone.
That's what I'm saying. So like,
the turnover at running back is massive. And this is part of the strategy of dynasty in general, but Superflex even more so. So in a Superflex league, the value of a quarterback is exponentially greater than every other position. As a matter of fact, as you and I know, and this is the thing that most people don't realize when they get into their first few Superflex leagues, especially Superflex Dynasty, they have a hard time turning their brain on to the fact that the quarterback is so much more important than every other position, because if you can get two or three, you've got the position locked down potentially for a 10, 15 year window. But even better, as you get more of them, they're the absolute best trading asset that you could possibly have in this league, because everybody else, there are 32 NFL quarterbacks in the league. There are probably only 24 good ones, stable ones that have potential to be with their team more than 1 or 2 years. And I'd say there are only about 12 to 15 good ones. So this is a position where 24 are needed in your league, and there's probably only 12 to 14 that you'd want as your top two. That's what makes the quarterback position so critical in Superflex leagues, and people don't have that in their head early on, which is something you could take advantage of.
You said something else that was really important. I want to make sure that, you know, I'm sure most of our experienced dynasty players that are listening to this know this, but it's good to refresh, is that a quarterback that could be projected to start in the current year and the year after, right? Just even a 2 year projected starter is the most liquid asset in all of dynasty. If you know your quarterback, say for example, you draft a rookie that's drafted in the top six picks, you know they're going to get minimum of two seasons, probably three, to show their stuff. You could trade that for, you know, a top 15 running back like that. I mean, even someone like Sam Darnold, who was just traded to the Panthers, is probably going to net you a veteran running back. Like, I would say a trade that you could easily see him go down, Geek, is you could probably trade Sam Darnold for someone like Chris Carson with pretty easily in these super
classes. Easily. And man, that's a sad state of affairs for Sam Darnold. But, you know,
I'm just saying that that's actually, a week ago, we thought Sam Darnold, you know, was going to die on your roster.
Yeah. No,
now, all of a sudden, you're getting a good RB2 for him.
That's exactly how it works. So the quarterback position is so critical. You're going to see in this rookie mock that we do, what an emphasis, as a matter of fact, what an emphasis we place on the quarterback position over other positions. Now, yeah, I just want to
Big emphasis.
Now, I want to go over the what we consider, again, we've done a lot of leagues, what we consider the ideal format in terms of positions. The secondary concept for me, if you're out there and you're like, dude, I want to do some dynasty super flex, that sounds awesome. We encourage this. Please do.
Yeah, it's the best format. And I mean, listen, everyone has their preferences, but if you're a redraft player, get into a cheap dynasty league. Just try it out. I mean, it's a lifelong commitment. You're committed. So that's why I said do a $25, a $40 league to start out, because
I go the opposite. If you're gonna make a commitment, you might as well do a $150 league.
But I think for your first one, maybe you want to get those mistakes out of the way, because you are going to make mistakes. I mean, your first dynasty league, you almost draft it like a redraft league because you don't know better.
Yeah.
You know, you're like, oh, DeAndre Hopkins in the first round. Great.
Yeah. You're 100% right. So yeah, get into an inexpensive, that's good advice, right? Make your mistakes, learn, because you've got to feel it. But for me, the ultimate format here, you want to have a deep roster. What does a deep roster mean? That means, for me, it means two running backs, three wide receivers, one tight end, two flexes, and a super flex, or even, dare I say, three flexes and a super flex. The deeper the league, the better. Because as you deepen the league, it puts more import on those later round picks, those rookie third and fourth rounders that you're going to take. The other thing we highly recommend is having what's called a taxi squad.
Good. I'm glad you come over to the dark side.
No, you got to have this in Dynasty. So a deep roster, 20 deep at least, maybe 22, players, and then what we call a taxi squad, where you can store the rookies that you pick without taking up roster spots. So the reason we do this and the reason it's necessary is because if you're going to have a super deep format, we want to have this emphasis on your rookie draft. Essentially, a great dynasty league will have almost no activity on the waivers during the season. And I like that because I don't want to pay attention that closely.
A few guys here and there come up. You know, Nick Chubb goes down. D'Ernest Johnson's a pickup for like a week. You know, guys like that.
Yeah, minimal activity on waiver wire. Part of the nice thing about that, again, is I play DFS during the season. Very, very involved with it. So I don't love a lot of in-season management. I don't love having to like attack the waivers every week like we do in redraft because, again, I'm distracted, just heavily focused
waiver
on
waiver wire. Things. Waiver wire is the worst part of fantasy football.
I mean, it's, you know, it's strategy and it's part of it. But if you have a lot of leagues, it's the worst part because it's a lot to pay attention to. So this is one of the other things I love about it. Guys, I strongly recommend checking out this format. We have a lot of tools over at DFS Army, rankings and stuff like that for Dynasty Superflex. Cez puts those together for us. And of course, we go over them together. So check that out. And if you're not subscribed to DFS Army, I don't understand why. We have a season long, I think, we have a season long fantasy football membership that goes the whole year, just $35 for the whole year. Get the draft kit, all of our coverage. But of course, I recommend just signing up as a VIP and playing daily fantasy sports.
Don't you guys have a weekly membership now? Isn't there?
We have weeklies, we have monthly, whatever you want. But
that I think is so cool because you could try it out. And not feel like, hey, I mean, first of all, anyone who try, I've talked to a lot of people that just try it out and then they're hooked. So, but if you, you know, a lot of times people just want to get a little sample of the goods, come in for a week, try it out, and obviously you're going to stay. But
I never understand. If you're playing daily fantasy sports and you're doing it without our help, like, what are you doing? Do you not see that DFS Army members are winning all the tournaments that you're in on DraftKings event? Like, look at the winners. Our guys are winning.
Well, and not we'll do just the heavy promotion at the end, though. Let's get into the content.
Anyway, let's get into this content. Let's get into this rookie mock draft. So what is a rookie mock draft? Again, we're assuming our Dynasty Superflex League, and we're taking a look at this year's rookie crop. We're going to do the first round. Maybe we'll get a little beyond the first round. We'll see how we go. I'm not fully prepared for two rounds of this. And also before the actual draft, I think a lot of things will massively change. But we want to identify who the quarterbacks are that we're going to be interested in, where we're interested, who the running backs, who the wide receivers are, and where we want to take them and why. So let's get into it.
You'll have the first pick, and then we'll alternate.
Making it easy for me. All right, so Dynasty Rookie, we have two quarterback league. And
remember, we're not building a team here. So you're not, with your first, third, with your odd number picks, you're not building a team. You're acting as the general manager for individual teams. So we're just going best player available at every position.
Yeah, the assumption is we already have a team. We have a team. We're just drafting our rookie pick, which we do, and we have, and all these things are real. So the first pick is going to be, without a doubt, hands down, with no questions asked, Trevor Lawrence. There's
it's time to do the Trevor Lawrence rap. Go ahead, do it.
Oh, he'll burn your food like Florence. He'll run up in your crib like his name was search warrants. Okay. Busta Rhymes. Respect.
Yeah. Why do you think Trevor Lawrence, I mean, he's the no-brainer consensus 1-1 in any credible Superflex draft. I would say 99.9, drag it out. He's going to be the 1-1, but why do you think he should be the 1-1? What is it about Trevor Lawrence that you think makes him the consensus 1-1 in these Superflex drafts?
Yeah, I mean, here's what it comes down to. The kid's got it all, right? He's got mobility. He's got the arm. He's got the cachet. And he's going to a team with a nice little set of weapons around him that can't stop anybody defensively. It's a really nice setup for Trevor Lawrence with the Jaguars to have a long career. So our goal with drafting any quarterback is twofold. Number one, that he's good enough and has a career that lasts for 10, 15 years. You get that guy, you're set for a long time. And secondarily, is he a great fantasy football performer? Is that a lock with Trevor Lawrence? Not as much as maybe some of the other rookies that if they hit will absolutely have to be using their legs a lot more than maybe Trevor Lawrence will. But Lawrence projects more like a Mahomes in the sense of he's got that mobility. He can use it when he needs to, but he's not going to be a Lamar Jackson. But his arm, you know, everybody basically sees him as a historic quarterback coming out. He's being compared to Andrew Luck. We'll see how that goes, but certainly you take the safest pick with your first pick overall. You don't worry about it because of all of the quarterbacks coming out this season, Lawrence is the most likely to have a long career. I don't think you can deny that.
Yeah. By the way, our show has now gone international. Look at this. You posted this in one of the dynasty rooms and someone thinks we're talking about international football.
Oops.
We have a someone asking us about freaking Messi, asking us about soccer, Cristiano. This is great.
And, I mean, of course it's Messi.
All right. Pick number two in our rookie super flex mock draft. I am not going away from my evaluation that I had before all this trashing of Justin Fields happens. I am, for a second, do not believe that the San Francisco 49ers are taking Mac Jones. I believe they're taking Justin Fields, and I'm going to take Justin Fields at pick two. He has the high upside, and if he's handpicked by Kyle Shanahan, we already know that he's going to scheme it perfect for him. Kyle Shanahan, what we know is he picks the players he wants to fit his scheme. It's going to be a machine, and he should be the 1.2. Don't buy for a second that they moved up for Mac Jones. I could be wrong, but I don't buy it. 1.2, Justin Fields, lock it in.
I'm obsessed that you did this because I was going to say, I don't care. So our assumption is you and I are both under the assumption that Fields will go to the 49ers. But
if
number
the
one,
Jets don't take him. I know that everyone's saying that Zach Wilson picked him, but we'll get
there. They're going to ruin whoever they
are. Right, right. Okay, let's just, yes. I would bet money, especially since I'm getting odds, that Justin Fields goes to the 49ers. I could be wrong, but I think that the other thing, everything else has been a smokescreen with this Mac Jones stuff. And I like Mac Jones.
You might be able to bet that at reasonable odds. I don't have the numbers. But here's the thing with Fields. When you look at this rookie class, especially if he goes to San Francisco. San Francisco becomes a no-brainer, number two overall anyway. Right. The world is assuming Mac Jones will be taken there. We think it's going to be Justin Fields. Justin Fields runs. He's like Jalen Hurts out there. He seems to have a great arm. I don't even Sick understand arm. Why Zach Wilson is ahead of him in the rankings. I don't understand it, but for fantasy purposes, you get a running quarterback who lasts. You have a piece of gold. Like, we all know that Lamar Jackson isn't the greatest thrower in the world, but you know, if he could just complete a few passes every year, what he's doing with his legs is incredible. Justin Fields has that same upside. I love the pick. I love the pick.
Yeah, I'm actually in the chat. I'm going to put what the picks are.
Perfect.
Here we go. So,
all right. Do we want to talk more about Fields or we move on to pick number three?
Let's move it. Let's move it.
All right. Let's keep it going. Pick number three. I'm going with, you ready for this? Trey Lance.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
I
yeah.
I don't have a rap for him.
Yeah, well, you know, I can help you out here a little bit.
Well,
I think
I can make one up, but I
no,
think.
No. You can add on to this. Trey Lance, North Dakota State, you know, some people have critiqued the competition level, but he was amazing in 2019. In 2020, he only threw 30 passes, but a simple observation of the game film will show you the upside. There is definitely some risk with him. Again, he didn't play much this year, and the competition level was less than, say, SEC football, but you're talking about a big guy that can make all the throws, and he has hyper running ability. Think about, I don't know if this is like the best comp, but I would say the best version of Colin Kaepernick is the best version, is probably the closest comp I would make for him. And a team's going to want him. You know, I mean, there is definite downside to him, but in super flex drafts, this is the type of player that can change your team from a bottom three or four team to a playoff team with one pick. Now, let's just say, for example, somebody moves up to four to trade with the Falcons to take him at four overall.
Let's talk about some possibilities there.
The Washington football team.
Oh, great. Right. So let's talk about where he might go.
Okay.
Could Denver get there?
Denver could get there.
Could Washington football get there? How about the Patriots with a crazy trade up? I don't know if they're a Trey Lance.
I don't think, I'm not sure that I mean, it could happen. I just don't, that's not usually their style to trade up for the QB. It could obviously happen.
I think it will happen, by the way. I think they have to this year, but I don't know if it's going to be for Trey Lance, but what you just said is really critical. Hyper running ability. Yeah. Again, we're shooting for upside here. And you get this quarterback, as long as he goes to a team that's going to give him a chance to start, hyper running ability, can throw a little bit. you say, well, why are you taking these guys ahead of Wilson, who's going to the Jets? He's going to be the second guy. He's going to have more draft capital. I don't think it matters. I think if you're a first round, first 10 picks in the draft guy, I don't think it matters if you're the second guy or the fourth guy. I'm going to look at your skill set, what you bring to the table, what your upside is. Maybe a pocket quarterback like Zach Wilson or Mac Jones, they just don't have the same level of upside as these runners. So we're going with the runners, set 2 and 3. I went with Trey Lance here. And I think, you know, I think you're, oh, if he went to Washington football, that would be spectacular. Give me Denver here. Great. Even the Panthers, any of these situations, I'm really excited.
Oh, totally agree. All right. At 1-4, you know how I feel. In super flex drafts, you very rarely have chances to get QBs. QBs are never as cheap as they are in the startup draft. So that's why we always tell people to go get those QBs. But in a super flex draft, even if he goes to the Jets, Zach Wilson, I liked watching him on film. The knock on him was that he only did it for 1 year. And again, you're talking about a competition level that's, you know, not SEC football, but he's making all these Patrick Mahomes style throws, sidearm, angle throws. He is mobile. I would say he's more like an Aaron Rodgers, Andrew Luck style of mobile. He's not like a running quarterback, but he has enough. If he scrambles on 3rd and 4, that he can go get it and he can evade the rush like peak Ben Roethlisberger. I think Zach Wilson, if you have the 4th pick and he falls there, even on the Jets with the new look staff, I would take Zach Wilson over any of the running backs or wide receivers in this draft in a super flex startup. Give me Zach Wilson at pick 4. Anything to add to that?
There we go. I love the pick. And here is, for me, the first inflection point in this draft. So we've still got Mac Jones, possibly the quarterback of the 49ers, with pick number 3 available. The thing with Mac Jones is he is definitely the statuesque pocket quarterback style that I'm really just not in love with for fantasy purposes today. So we also don't know for sure that he goes to the 49ers, and there's a reasonable chance that this player will drop. He doesn't possess a skill set for me that gets me tingly. You know, well,
let's assume for a second that he doesn't go for the 49ers for this pick. If he goes to the Broncos, if he goes to the Patriots, and he's behind, let's say he's either competing with Drew Lock as a rookie or he's behind Cam Newton. All right. I mean, you could make those assumptions about him. So now you're going to have to decide, do you want your RB1 or do you want the last of the big 5 QBs? So what are you going to do? This is a tough decision, Geek.
This for me is not too tough. And now again, we're mock drafting, but I'm here. I'm drafting 5th, right? I wasn't the worst team in the league, probably.
I just missed the playoffs.
I probably got some holes on my team. And we talked about it earlier. What's the most transient position in Dynasty? It's the running back position. So this is where I'm ready to make a pivot and go for the first running back, my top running back on the board, Travis Etienne.
Yeah. Yeah, it's funny because, you know, Najee is going to be the consensus 1-1, but I'm with you. Travis Etienne is my number one running back. I don't even think it's close. Take that back. It is close, but there's a significant gap. Just the upside, the fantasy football upside of Travis Etienne, think about Jamal Charles. That would be my comparison. Now, it doesn't mean he's going to come in and be a Hall of Famer like Jamal Charles. It doesn't mean that at all. But he has that he has those things for fantasy football that you look for. He's got speed. He's got shiftiness. He can catch the football.
I want guys who can catch. What remains to be seen with Travis Etienne and with any rookie running back, really, but especially with Travis, and I'd like some detail on him a little bit here, but can he hold up as a 3-down back in the National Football League? What kind of size does this kid have, Says?
Yeah, he's 5'10", about 215 pounds. For some reason, and I think he plays more at like 208, 210. He weighed in a little heavy to show that he can put it on. But I'm not worried about him at all. I mean, if the Jaguars get him at the first pick of the second round and pair him back up with Trevor Lawrence, his college teammate, then my mind will just like blow to the roof. But obviously, you and I, Jets,
I don't expect that. I think the Jaguars are happy with their running back situation.
Yeah, me too. So, but I'm just, you know, again, I'm just saying that would blow our mind for many reasons. But we want him to go to the Jets. That's where you and I want him to go.
There's a couple of teams. I'm happy if it's the Steelers. I'm very comfortable if it's the Jets, even though the Jets stink as a team. I think, you know, they could turn a franchise around real quick with a couple of good picks. And as Jets fans, we like him for that in that 23rd pick or that early second round pick. What are some other teams where we're going to be excited for running backs to hit
Yeah, there's a few running back spots. I think you nailed the Steelers for sure. I think that the Jets need a running back. I mean, they have some guys on the roster. But the other ones that come to mind are the Atlanta Falcons. They signed Mike Davis, who was a perfectly good
player. Absolutely.
Yeah, he's a stopgap. Perfectly good journeyman quarterback, filled in beautifully for Christian McCaffrey and your fantasy team last year. But I think there's a spot for a rookie runner to come in there and take a significant share in a good offense right away. And the other team, I don't think anyone that plays fantasy football and is an experienced fantasy football player thinks Chase Edmonds is going to be the lead running back on the Arizona Cardinals. Now, the Cardinals pick at 16 overall. I do not think they will take a running back there, but they pick at 49th overall, which is the prime spot, the middle of the second round, to take one of the top three running backs.
There we go. So a lot of good landing spots potentially for Travis Etienne, a lot of upside, Jamaal Charles comparables. So who is your next pick? You've got the quarterback still on the board, Mac Jones, potentially drafted on a team that wants to play him, a couple other running backs, and of course, a star tight end and some really sweet wide receivers.
Let me just put Travis Etienne. I got it right there. Is a 1-5. So I'm very tempted to take my RB2 here, but I have to stick with the Alan Sislowski edict, where the quarterbacks, I could trade quarterback for an established starter. And if Zach Wilson goes to the Jets at 2 overall, and he falls to me at 1.6 in this draft, I'm going to take him.
Didn't you take with pick 4?
I did take Wilson. Mac Jones. So everything I just said, Mac, thank you. Mac Jones, if he goes to the 49ers, or even let's say in a worst case, he ends up competing with like Drew Locke, right? I'm not going to worry about that competition. So I am going to take, now if my team needs a running back, and let's say I have Josh Allen and Baker Mayfield are my two quarterbacks, then I would consider a team needs pivot. But just in a vacuum, I think Mac Jones is a superior prospect. Now he's getting the hype to go at pick 3. And if he does go at pick 3, he is well worth this pick. At 1-6, he's a clean prospect. More of a Kirk Cousins with some mobility, I think, is a good comp for now. I mean, it could be even better than that. I'm taking Mac Jones at 1.6 in a super flex rookie startup mock draft.
I mean, Mac Jones, so we know his limitations. Just to be clear, he's a great statuesque
wouldn't call him statuesque.
Statuesque. I'm trying to describe it so the people understand. When you say a quarterback is statuesque, they're NFL players. They can move a little bit.
He's not going to have 250 rushing. He's going to have 180 rushing yards and maybe like a quarterback sneaky type of touchdown.
Derek Carr. I mean, you're not getting a guy who's going to run around out there. So that's the only real knock on him. But hey, Tom Brady's a statuesque quarterback. Ben Roethlisberger's a statuesque quarterback. They do great, right? They produce fantasy goodness. So nothing wrong with that. I would say even Justin Herbert is a statuesque quarterback in some ways, and he's a superstar in fantasy right now. So a lot of potential, good arm, good stuff. But you've made my choice easy, for the next. I mean, I love Najee Harris. I think he's great. You know, I had to struggle in pick number 5 between him and Travis Etienne. Now I don't have to struggle. Najee Harris, 3 down back skill set.
By the way, do you now see, this is why I wanted to go through this exercise with you. You and I had a phone call yesterday, and you zapped so much of my energy for me trying to tell you that pick 6 this year is a good pick to have in Superflex. You now see what I'm talking about? Najee Harris.
Not a bad pick.
It's a great pick. What year is pick 6 getting you quarterback 2 or getting you
it could wind up Mac Jones, and you might not want that kind of quarterback pick.
But
so,
do you see what I'm saying? There's so far we're at pick 7, and you just took what a lot of people have as their 1-1 in 1 QB leagues. You just got him at pick 7. You made the playoffs at pick 7.
Oh, that was 7. Okay.
Yeah.
So pick 7, you're getting possibly the number 1 or number 2. We don't know. And you won't know either. So you get one of the top 2 running backs. That's the 7th pick in your draft. And the beautiful thing in your dynasty league is, you know, if you're picking 7, again, your team's probably pretty okay. made the playoffs, maybe, didn't go far. Probably need a running back. I mean, you have a need, and it's a running back. Everybody needs a running back, so you need a running back. Good pick here. Again, landing spots. I think we've been over it. Pittsburgh, Atlanta. I'd say Seattle on the list. If Seattle gets one of these guys, I don't think it's terrible. Probably wait a year to be featured over there, but you know, it's not terrible. I do think if Seattle takes one, they'll drop a little bit. Jets, of course, a few other teams where we don't mind.
It's just that, you know, Najee Harris is going to go in the top 50 picks of the NFL draft. Those teams that you need, Seattle, they're not going to, they don't even have a first round pick. They gave it to the Jets in the, what's the safety? Jamal Williams. Jamal Adams trade. Yeah. So they're not going to use their first pick in the draft to address a position where they just brought Chris Carson back.
That was
so
more hypothetical of just like, right. Teams that if they got him, it'd be fine.
Najee's going to be one of those teams that we just named. I mean, he's going to be a highly desirable profile as a three down runner.
Could there be a team that surprises us? What about Denver?
Well, they have Melvin Gordon and they, you know, but I'm saying, really, you don't need to address that. What I'm saying is Melvin Gordon, even though we don't like him, he's a capable runner. They want to, I could see Denver adding a running back in day two, in day three, someone like Trey Sermon or from Ohio State or someone like that. I just don't see them spending high draft capital on a running back when they have Melvin Gordon on the payroll. So they wouldn't even be able, they'd either be wasting the $8.5 million they spent on him, or they'd have to burn up a year of that rookie running back contract. It's
let me throw one other question at you. Is it possible that a sixth quarterback goes in the first round to a team like Tampa, picking right at the end? They know it's Tom Brady on the roster. You know, he's not a superhuman. He's not made of steel and circuits. He's a human being. At some point, he's old. He can't be there for another more. This is it.
Yeah, I don't think so, because I don't think there's another quarterback outside of these five that have first round worthy. You know, when you start getting
right
into
the last pick in the first round, though, is there another guy teetering on the edge?
No, I mean, when you talk about like the next tier, it's like Kyle Trask out of Florida, who profiles more as like a third round pick. There's a couple guys that will go in the third round, like Kellen Mund, who have that crazy upside. They just don't have.
Let me throw a hypothetical at you. Let's say Tampa does take one of those guys with the last pick in the first round.
It would be I think they're smart enough to trade out of that pick if they wanted one of those guys. And
in the middle of the second, doesn't matter. My point is, where in the rookie draft, you know, that's that quarterback that now you can maybe get in the second.
Well, those guys, there are going to be the high upside quarterbacks that go in round two, just like Jalen Hurts last year, like Drew Lock the year before, regardless of the outcome.
Yeah, you can get that. Yeah. You can get and that those, guy in the second round.
Yeah, those guys are routinely available in the middle of the second round of your rookie Super. So, yes, now I understand your question. What do we do with the second round quarterbacks? Yeah. They go in the second round of your rookie, and sometimes even in the third round. Like Jalen Hurts was going in the third round. So
that's how you make your team special. Jalen Hurts emerges as a super stud. You got him late in the second round. All right, so let's continue where we were at.
To give you like a realistic scenario of that, if Pittsburgh drafts a Ben Roethlisberger successor in the second round, that's someone you're going to want to be interested in the range that you were just talking about.
All day. So there are quarterbacks to be had a little bit later. So let's get back into where we were at. We've got both running backs off the board. We've got all the elite quarterbacks off the board. Now we've got a scenario. Again, pick 1.8. Is this 1.8?
Yeah, 1.8.
We're at 1.8, right? You're sitting in your draft. You're like, okay. There's an elite tight end hanging out, Pitts, maybe historic. I hear about historic tight ends every fucking year. Maybe historic. Okay. We've also got some elite wide receiver talent ready to roll. I guess situation is important here, but says this is a tough one, and I'm glad you're making this pick.
Yeah.
Where do you go with this one?
Okay. So I'm making this pick as if I was making this pick. And I'm about to take a suboptimal player according to my rankings because of position scarcity. So there's Kyle Pitts is probably the best talent on the board right now. And there's a couple wide receivers who you and I think are worthy of top five picks in this draft. But the last of the running backs that I think is slated for a three down roll and will probably go in the second round is Javonte Williams out of North Carolina. And just knowing I can probably get a pretty high-end wide receiver if I'm picking at 2.8 in the next round, that's the only reason. The best talent is probably Pitts, but I'm going to go Javonte Williams, North Carolina. Disappointed a little bit at his pro day, but turn on the film. You'll see him running over people like beast mode, measured in a slightly little bit smaller than we thought he'd be. But this is the player that I think that is primed for the Arizona Cardinals to take at pick 49. And this is a player that could step in on day one and be at least a two-down workhorse and have Chase Edmonds come in. So I would take at 1-8, I'm going Javonte Williams, running back out of North Carolina.
I love the pick. And again, we already talked about the scarcity of running back, the short-term nature. Again, you're picking 8th, so your team's not bad. You probably need running backs.
Everyone needs running backs in Dynasty.
You always need running backs. And the big thing with Javonte Williams is he's the top three. He's going to go to one of these teams. I'd love to see him in Atlanta, but he's going to go to one of these
teams. I think the Cardinals are better because I think that he is going to be NFL scouts' third running back. And I've seen some credible Dynasty rankers have him as 2 or even 1. So he's the real deal. But I think that he's probably more slated to be the third running back off the board in the real NFL draft.
Yeah, it could. And of course, could be Arizona. Arizona, I think, is probably the worst situation for me in terms of
pretty good, though.
It's good, but it's probably the worst of them. The other big question for me with Javonte Williams is, what kind of pass catcher is he? Can he be a 3-down guy?
Capable.
He's capable. And if he goes to Arizona, so to me, and this is really, really important, where you go as a running back is going to affect things quite a bit. I will change my rankings of these three guys based on who drafts them.
So,
a little bit.
I have the answer to your question here. So you know that we use on this show for your college season, if you have 20 receptions, that's kind of the benchmark where we think that you're a capable pass catcher. We equate 20 receptions to about 40 NFL receptions. So Javonte Williams had 25 receptions this past year, 17 the year before. That's well within the acceptable pass catching realm for us.
So 3-down back. So our goal with a player like him is does he go to a team that will use him that way?
Stay with it here. I just have to do something on it.
Yeah, so he will go to a team that will use him that way. So I really like the Javonte Williams pick here for you. And what I'll do is I'll just move on to pick 1.9 because it's my turn. Now, again, breaking it all down, we've got our three running backs off the board, our three primary running backs off the board. We've got all of the starting quarterbacks off the board. So now we're into the point in the draft where we're taking a look at some pass catchers. Now, one of the important things I want to kind of go over is why did we wait on pass catchers and says, why did we wait on pass catchers versus these other positions? And I'm going to explain.
Oh, sorry.
Pass catchers fucking bust, dude. They bust a lot. It's really, really hard to predict these things. And the most difficult because wide receivers, we see them all the time. You see the Corey Davises of the world. You see the Mike Williams of the world. They come out. They look incredible. First round, top 5, top 10 guy. And they just don't really do anything. So the bust rate is just higher with wide receivers, and there's a lot more of them. So there's a combination of factors in Dynasty where there's just a lot of wide receivers that are around that play, that start for teams, and they bust at a pretty high rate. So you don't want to waste your draft capital early on them because they bust.
But here's the other thing, though. When you hit on them, it really helps your Dynasty team for a long time. If you have CeeDee Lamb, if you have Justin Jefferson right now, you know me, I don't like to use the term, 10 years in Dynasty. I like to use the term 2 years, but you have a position locked in for 5 years. You literally can now start plucking off running backs. And think about it, what does it cost to acquire a CeeDee Lamb in Dynasty? To acquire Justin Jefferson, DK Metcalf? It's not worth the price, is my point. Their trade value exceeds their own value. So that's the point. When you do hit on these guys, it is a jackpot.
I'll give you an idea. Somebody with a straight face for Justin Jefferson asked me for 2 first-round picks and a 2nd-round pick. And I'm like,
I think that's worth it. Actually, I would do that in a heartbeat.
I wouldn't do it because I'm like, 2 fairly high 1st-round picks. Like those 2 picks could be Travis Etienne and Najee Harris. Like, I'm not doing that, but
I've seen, Justin Jefferson can be traded right now. Think about this. Okay. In super flex draft, and we'll continue with our mock draft here in a moment here. But I think I think you can get Justin Jefferson and your 1st-round pick for Kyler Murray. Like, that's the level You know, I mean, like Justin Jefferson and say Travis Etienne for Kyler Murray, like you can probably, those are the type of trades that we're talking about here. So that's the point, is that you can't get a Kyler Murray in a super flex league. It's impossible, except when you have a 21-year-old wide receiver one that is only going to get better, then you're in the conversation. So that's really my point.
There you go. So with all that being said, wide receivers bust at a very high level. We saw Jalen Reagor not look so great. We saw Henry Ruggs not look so great. We saw even Jerry Jeudy so far has not looked like what the hype was. So they bust at a very high level. It's hard to predict.
I wouldn't call any of them busts yet, though.
No, they just didn't, but no, I'm not calling them a bust. But I'm just, you know, I mentioned some other names too: Mike Williams, Corey Davis. Those are busts to me.
Yeah.
Yes. Now, it's not that they don't play anymore. It's just, hey, that was a top 10 guy.
You didn't get what you paid for.
No.
You didn't get
This is the point where I'm making a decision. Do I want to go wide receiver? And the wide receiver, of course, is Ja'Marr Chase. He's a top guy. Or do I want to go tight end, Kyle Pitts, you know, historic player?
You're a known anti-tight ender.
I do not believe in drafting these early tight ends. I am going Ja'Marr Chase here. I get that Pitts is at a critical position. I get that most leagues, if you're doing it right, do give a premium to tight end receptions, 1.5 points compared to one for regular wide receivers. There is a benefit to having an elite tight end on your team, but tight ends just, it's not, I don't think it's as predictable as other people do. I just think that these first round tight ends don't always work out, and I don't want to take a chance there. I think they actually go the opposite way. A lot of times these first round tight ends just straight bust, or they're just never anything special. OJ Howard, screw you. You know what I'm saying? Like, and we're still talking about Hockenson. Where's the elite production out of him? So I don't buy it. I'm going with the wide receiver. I'm going Ja'Marr Chase here, not taking my chances. I'm not ready to roll the dice on the tight end.
Yeah, no, that's fair. You know, Ja'Marr Chase, the thing that someone brought to my attention not too long ago, and I love Ja'Marr Chase, and I think that he's got such a high floor and he has the upside. I think that at worst case scenario, you're looking at like wide receiver like 14 in fantasy football for a few years. And if you have wide receiver 14, you could just plug him into your lineup every week. You're happy.
That is far from the worst case scenario, but
that's what I'm saying. Like, I think that that's
reasonably
like
likely.
Yeah. And then I think there's going to be some, you know, there's upside for him to be a top five wide receiver.
By the way, talking about more busts, Paris Campbell. The guy from the Patriots who stinks.
Oh, N'Keal Harry. That
yeah,
was really
I mean, the, Paris Campbell, the bust, the fan, how about going back, Corey Coleman? How about Josh Doctson? The road to fantasy glory is paved with the blood and tears of wide receiver first round busts.
Yeah, the ultimate one is Laquon Treadwell, right?
I mean, come on. Yeah, you know, he's still in
the league. He was the wide receiver one in that draft class, I believe.
It happens all the time. So, right. So this is why we waited for these pass catchers to the very, all of the goodies were cleaned off the table. Now we'll start messing with wide receivers.
But here, that said, if somebody took Ja'Marr Chase in the top two picks in a non-Superflex league, I'm not going to tell them they're wrong. You know, I wouldn't do it, but I'm not going to tell them they're wrong. That's all right. 1.10. I'm not going to let him fall any further. Kyle Pitts is going to be the pick. I know that you're a known anti-tight ender, but this guy has the upside. He has Calvin Johnson's size and measurables and also the speed. He's a monster in the red zone. He's really more of a wide receiver that has the tight end label, and he is going to be a top. I mean, I it would be nutless for me to say that he's a top 10. I think he's going to go number four to the Falcons. I don't think they're going to screw around unless somebody comes with the king ransom to trade out of that pick, in which case, let's say somebody comes up for a quarterback at four.
They will.
All right. The Bengals get their lineman at five. Right?
Why would Atlanta just take the quarterback? They desperately need one.
Well, because I think Arthur Smith, the new coach, has fallen in love with Matt Ryan, and they want to win this year. And the argument is that they're not going to have another chance to get a quarterback this high. I agree with you. But if they're all in and Matt Ryan can play two more years, they're just going to take a weapon or, you know, get some draft capital to try to get a QB next year.
Really,
but,
really and, bad strategy let, for a team that's been bad for a long time.
But let's stay with it for a minute. Let's stay with it. So pick six is what? Is the Dolphins? So they're probably in wide receiver territory because they have Mike Gesicki. So that means at pick eight, you have the Panthers. That's a spot possibly for Kyle Pitts, or there's some blurbs floating floating, excuse me, around right now that the Cowboys have fallen in love with Kyle
Pitts. I'm hearing too. That might shift me over to a Kyle Pitts. You give me anybody in the Cowboys offense and I'm pretty excited.
Oh, last year you were a little goosey about CeeDee Lamb because Amari Cooper's there. Now you see though that Dak Prescott can feed that offense. But either way, I'm taking Kyle Pitts at 110. I'm buying into the hype that he is a generational prospect and he's getting the tight end label and he's going to get that point and a half in your premium leagues, but he is really a wide receiver. They're not putting him on the field to block. They're putting him on on the field to score touchdowns. In the SiriusXM draft that I participated in two nights ago, he went as tight end 4, which again, I think is aggressive in a redraft league, but that just shows you the market is bullish on him. And if to get him at 110, you got Shane right here say that you're slow playing Pitts. look, Shane's goosing you there. But yeah, 110, I'm taking Kyle Pitts, and I probably would take him as high as 4 in Superflex drafts. And I could see the case for taking him at 1 overall in 1 QB leagues.
I mean, listen, he's got to turn into Travis Kelce or Darren Waller to justify this. I don't think it's as predictable as you. I like Kyle Pitts. He's got all the measurables, but he's not able to block. So he's going to be this hybrid style player. And we've also seen these type of players fail. We have seen it. And
no one listening to this podcast remembers Johnny Mitchell.
But
my point is that, yes, any player is more likely to fail than not, but this is the one. And we're also going to talk about another outlier player, which I'm hoping you don't take next.
I'm not taking that motherfucker. You take him.
All right. So we're up to the 11th pick. We're almost done with our super flex. Let me just review it real quick for everybody. Some people that just tuned in. We're doing a super flex rookie mock draft. And the Geek had the first pick. Oh, no surprise there. He took Trevor Lawrence. At number 2, I took Justin Fields. 3 was Trey Lance, quarterback out of North Dakota for the Geek. At pick 4, Zach Wilson went off the boards. You see 1, 2, 3, 4, all quarterbacks. Number 5, our first quarterback went off the board at Travis Etienne, followed immediately, not by another running back, but number 6 was Mac Jones. Number 7, you got Najee Harris at pick 7, running back out of Alabama. Pick 8, we took another running back, Javonte Williams. Pick 9 was our first wide receiver, Jamar Chase. Pick 10, I just took Kyle Pitts. I think I just stole the draft at that point. And you are up pick 11. But Shane had a question. He was asking, where are you taking Pitts in a tight end premium? Does that change things for you, Geek? Where would you actually take him in a tight end premium league?
I do think he went correctly here, but I would not raise him up from this spot. So where
you wouldn't take him above Jamar Chase in a T premium?
No. Well, you know what? Let's look at his situation where he lands. As of right now, I'm going to say no, because I do not trust the tight end position's projectability to the NFL to the point where I'm certain that this guy is going to be a star starter. So he looks great. He looks like he's going to be great. But let's see where he's picked, and let's see what team he goes to. I might change my mind. I reserve the right in that case in a TE premium league to change my mind, because, again, the bust rate for all pass catchers is pretty high, maybe a little bit higher for tight ends, but not so much higher that like an awesome tight end is definitely, and I fully get it, more valuable than an awesome wide receiver.
I disagree with you, but I will defend your point like this, is we get very excited for these players. And then where's Kyle Pitts' redraft ranking going to be? Like tight end, like 14? I mean, I know some people are going to get excited and take him at like tight end 6, but really, I mean, him or Evan Ingram are going to have more fantasy points this year. It is a real question.
Yeah, no, it's the tight end position. Evan Ingram is the perfect example. Oh, it's great, great numbers, and there are no wide receivers on that team. Why isn't Evan Ingram great? Well, he can't catch a pass. Well, you know, he could catch in college. All of a sudden, he can't catch in the pros. What the hell's wrong with this guy?
Let's finish out our first round here, because we're approaching it out. So you're up at pick 11.
I am up at pick 11, and here's my decision. This is an important decision point. So, again, there are 3 players here that I'm considering. One that I'm not, which I think you're going to be on pick number 12. I'm not even going to mention him.
Okay.
I'll let you get to that guy. But I'm looking at Jalen Waddle, and I'm looking at my boy. I'm looking at my boy Devonta Smith. Now, Jalen Waddle, probably the 3rd wide receiver to get selected in the real draft. I really like him. He's a prototypical wide receiver. He is my pick here. I consider Devonta Smith. He's the 170-pound phenom. I get it. He looks amazing. my issue with Devonta Smith is he's 170 pounds, and that's just, I want big wide receivers. If I want the 6 foot two, I want the AJ Browns. I want those giant monstrosities, the Cortland Suttons, not that he's worked out, but I want these type of touchdown catchers. And I don't see Devonta Smith. I know he scored a lot of touchdowns. I don't know, but in the NFL, don't even make that argument. I know he scored a lot of touchdowns, but in the NFL, I'm not sure I see him as a touchdown scorer. I'm going Waddle here. Probably. Who do you think? I can't predict who will have him on their team, but wherever he is, he's WR1 for the team.
That's I think that at pick 16, the Cardinals could take Jalen Waddle. I mean, we've mentioned the Cardinals a lot this year, this podcast, but that's if they go offense instead of defense, I think that's certainly a spot. Anyone in the top, I think he'll be a top 20 real NFL pick. I mean, you know, he didn't play this season. He was one of those guys that didn't play the full season, but. You know, and that could have opened the door for Devonta Smith to have the production that he did. But Jalen Waddle, he's a rock solid guy. There's, you know, not a lot of dings in his game. Would probably be the wide receiver one in a lot of years. It's a very, very rock solid pick, very safe pick. And you were talking
what's the height on this kid?
Let me look up his measurables, but I think he is NFL prototypical size. Let's see,
give me like 200 pounds, maybe 210. Give me 6'1", 6'2".
What's that?
6 feet, 6'1".
Usually I'm pretty maybe good. More. Guy.
How about 6'3"? I'll take that.
His, what am I? I'm having trouble looking it up right here. Let's see. But anyway, here, while I'm looking it up.
Jalen, it's not, where? Why did I say Javonte Williams?
Yeah, he's 5'10", 183 pounds. That's pretty solid.
No, that's Javonte Williams. Jalen Waddle is our guy. Hold on.
Yeah, so it's 5'10", 183 pounds.
All right, a little, you know what?
That's Antonio Brown size, man.
Yeah, a little small, but not a big dude actually right there.
No, that's good BMI, man. That's good BMI. And he's he's like almost like a Debo Samuel, tough nose, right? Shane said 5'9", 180.
5'10".
Yeah, we had 5'10". Yeah, 5'9". Yeah. And Shane probably is locked into the pro day actual measurements versus the internet measurements. So, but I still think he's a rock solid. It's a lot of these guys this season measured in disappointing, for lack of a better term. I mean, even someone like Rashad Bateman, who was listed at 6'2", measured in at barely 6 foot. You know, I mean, he was listed at 210 pounds, came in at 190. I mean, there's a lot of disappointment. But I want to go back because I'm going to take the last pick in the first round here. I'm going Devonta Smith. I was with you that he would have to be an outlier to meet expectations in the NFL. But after rewatching his film, he is going to be an outlier in the NFL. I'm not worried about the 170 pounds. He is skinny, but he's 6 foot tall. He makes all of the grabs. He makes bad throws. He's got that catch radius. When they measured his wingspan, he was 6 foot six wingspan. He uses his leverage well. He scored 23 touchdowns this past year. I think that he is just an awesome wide receiver. The first wide receiver to win the Heisman Trophy in 50 years. I'm willing to bet on him. If I get him with the last pick of the first round of my suit, I mean, this is the champion of your league. The guy who has the 12th pick is going to add a plug and play from day one, wide receiver two, who eventually, let's try to think about what the 2023 Superflex startup rankings are going to look like. Jalen Waddle is a good bet to be in the top 20 pick in the startup rankings. And as a championship team, 12th pick, I'm getting him, and I'm going to add the 2023 top 12 receiver, top 20 startup pick. Lock him in. I'm more than happy to take Devonta Smith here.
And yeah, and I would say for people drafting this year, look how sexy and valuable every single first round pick is all the way to the end. Again, you're getting Devonta Smith with the last pick in the first round. If it's not him, it's Waddle. Last pick in the first round. So you've got some serious talent there. I want to throw a couple before we let it go here.
Let's do the second round next week.
We got to wait till after the draft. I can't do a full second round at this point. Right. There's no way.
So you're saying there's some other guys
that we kind of, I want to just throw a little bit of a mention to Rondale Moore here and Rashad Bateman, who are some names that we probably would have been considering at
not
the top.
In the first round, not Bateman anymore. Not for me. I mean, Bateman, like I said, he was listed at 6'2" and 210 pounds. When he actually measured in, he was 190 pounds and barely 6 feet tall. He is out for me as a first round. As a second round pick, I'm in. And
well, right there.
Rondale Moore, 5'7". But
out for me, by the way. No, I will not deal with this shit.
Rondale Moore, I would take him as the pick 13, like the next pick. I really, again, I liked watching Rondale Moore, and we knew he was 5'7". There's no surprise there. But he can leap. He can get off the line. I mean, he is like a tough-nosed player. I think he's someone that's going to be a fantasy football relevant player, Rondale Moore, because he's going to be.
Maybe. I think the draft Knicks get too excited watching the kid jump 42 inches and do the athletic things. I think so. My take on Rondale Moore, he will not be good in the NFL. He's too small, and I've seen it before. Like, all the athleticism in the world cannot. I'm 5'7". Dude, I don't care how fucking athletic
I am. But he's going to be a slot receiver, Rondale Moore.
No, I will avoid. So I think your massive drop in. So let's real quick, the tiers. Like, where are you happy if you're in a rookie? Because we saw some tier. I think the first tier drop is pick 7. Like, there's a little tier drop after the first 6 picks.
The big I disagree because I think most people will include Kyle Pitts in that there. So I think the tier drop comes after. I think there's a big 9, but I could see some people saying a big 8. It sounds like you're into a big 8.
There's a big 8 or 9. You've got one tier drop out to 12, and then I think, to me, you have a massive tier drop after Devonta comes off the board, where now you have to look at the Bateman.
The first 6 picks of the first 6 picks of the second round are its own tier. You want to be in the first 6 or 7 picks of the.
Yeah. So if you're in your Superflex Dynasty League, right, and you're thinking about trading picks and where that should all take place, you need to understand these tiers. A top 6 or 8 pick, it has significantly more value than 9 through 12. 9 through 12 have significant, and it really is right at the round 1, round 2 turn where you now. All right, now I got to make a choice that I'm not super excited about. Pick 1 in the second round. So that there are your tiers. Big 8 or 9. Shane's out there surprised about the big 8 or 9, but
but I'm with you. I think that there's a big 8 or 9 in Superflex rookie. Superflex rookie drafts. So if you have pick 1 through 9 in your Superflex rookie draft, I think that you are locked into a player that can go. I mean, that is a big tier drop. I mean, you know, that is like you have a premium blue chip player that is likely to start for you right away. That's really what we're saying.
I would expand on that to say also, I strong, you know, there's certainly there are years where, like, it's really hard to determine who's number 1 versus number 6, where it's like one mushy little tier that's hard to break up. That's not the case this year. I think there are clear delineations, but a lot of really great players, especially, like you said, in the first 6.
Yeah. We're saying, I believe there's a big 9 of blue chip players that you are excited to get. If you have pick 8 or 9, you are just as excited as if you have pick 4, because you are going to get a premium player.
Yeah.
Your premium player.
As you get, and I think as you turn into the second round, you're now into like question mark player. Like I said, you're taking Rondale Moore. He's a 5'7" wide receiver. Tavon Austin, you know, we've seen these guys fail time and time again.
I understand.
I don't like it. Gadget people who guys who project as gadget players in the NFL. I just
Rondale
don't like
Moore is not a gadget player, but I understand.
He's a gadget player. He's going to go out against an NFL caliber cornerback who's 6 feet tall, and he's going to beat him. I don't think so. So he's a gadget player to me, but we'll see. What the hell do I know? We'll see. We'll see. We'll see about all of that. All right, guys, that's going to do it.
Fantasy, that was a good one. That was
first
a good
round,
one.
Really fun. Really good discussion. Obviously, we're before the NFL draft. We're what, a week or two away from the real National Football, a couple weeks away, 2-3 from the real National Football League draft. So my suggestion to everybody out there is start up a Superflex Dynasty League. Do it today. I get so much joy out of these leagues that I stare at my rosters. I love building a dynasty. I love the strategy. I don't mind. I'm super patient, which really helps me in these leagues. I will take 2 years to destroy everybody.
About fantasy, about dynasty football. Like, you know, Rich from the Dynasty Nerd says it all the time. He goes, even when you're losing, you're winning.
I'm I don't mind going through a season where I'm going to lose. Says you're not quite the same. You don't ever like to lose. I don't mind it. I will embrace it.
I don't have the stomach for the productive struggle.
I do. Because as a long-term Jets fan, I'm used to rebuilding. So I accept lost seasons as a thing. I was brought up that way. So now in Dynasty, I use that skill set that I acquired as a miserable Jets fan.
To embrace the
rebuild. I like
the opposite of losing is winning. Like that. And just give one more shout out to our sponsors. If you've stayed with the podcast this long, definitely take our recommendation. Go over to Drafters, they're drafters.com, or download the Drafters app and check them out. Use code DFS Army. You get a 25% deposit code match. If you love drafting, every day is draft day over there. You could draft best ball NFL teams. You could draft nightly NBA teams. So go check out Drafters. They're a good sponsor of ours. If you're looking for alternative sites, you know, we love some of the other best ball sites too, but right now when Drafters came into our awareness circle, we started playing over there and we're kind of addicted, which is why we connected with them as a sponsor. It's one of our new favorite sites, Drafters.
It's a really nice interface. The gameplay is fun. It's a nice looking interface. And again, there's no sharks on there. So basically you're going up against other regular people. I see people complaining all the time. Oh, DFS, so all algorithms and bots. Yeah. Bots, what does that even mean? It's bullshit. But you're right. People are using algorithms. These are big money contests, and you're spending a lot of time to attack them. Those guys aren't going in and sitting down and individually drafting a snake draft best ball league. So you can really, really gain an edge even on a nightly basis by playing on these types of sites. Check it out. And of course, check out DFS Army. Sign up as a VIP. Use promo code SAYS. You get 10% off of DFS Army, guys. This is really, really important. Support the site. We have a full
SEZ says Dynasty.
SEZ. You get Dynasty rank, all of the fantasy football stuff you need, constant content, but also the ability to interact with us. You have questions. You're about to make a trade. How valuable is this? Let's say you're in $300, $400, $150, $200 leagues, and trades are coming in. You want to consult with season long says right here. You want to ask me a question. I love going over that stuff, especially in the off season. Now I put all kinds of time into it. Into answering your question and strategizing with you. So we will help you crush your leagues, but that's just like the beginning of it. Of course, we're there also every single day, every sport. NASCAR's tonight, there's Xfinity, there's MMA tomorrow. We have the best analysts in the world. What DFS Army is a gathering of the best players, the highest ranked guys I could find in DFS, the highest ranked guys, the best guys. They all come together and they all focus on the sports that they're into. That's why our players are so successful. We combine that with the tools that we've built, the Domination Station Optimizer, our simulation models. Dude, our simulation models are freaking awesome. We have data scientists doing this stuff. So when people complain about DraftKings and FanDuel and bots and computers, yes, be one of the people when you play that is playing with every advantage you can. It's not complicated, and we teach you how to do it. Sign up with promo code SAYS at DFS Army as a VIP, and you will start to win at Daily Fantasy Sports on FanDuel and DraftKings. I promise you.
All right. We had one more question before we go from the chat. John was asking about what we think about Florida quarterback Kyle Trask, who benefited oh so much from throwing to Kyle Pitts all college season.
I'm going
to
tell you.
We talked about him earlier. Let me just give you my quick take, and then I'll let you have the last word, was that we think Kyle Trask, some team is going to probably take him in round two, definitely round three. And he's someone that you can absolutely add to your dynasty roster. It's a mid-second round pick if you don't like the wide receivers, certainly on the 2-3 turn in your rookie super flex drafts. And we think that he profiles as probably a backup that will have some Andy Dalton-esque upside if he gets a few starts. I mean, that was mostly my take on him. I like Kyle Trask.
Does he have any running ability?
No, I wouldn't say that. I wouldn't call him a, but he's a good, solid. He'll have an NFL career. He'll get some starts, and he's certainly worth, if he gets behind a shaky starter, if the Pittsburgh Steelers draft him and Ben Roethlisberger just has lost it, who knows? Kyle Trask comes in, starts slinging a football around. All of a sudden, he's got all those wide receivers. We would absolutely take a shot on him in the late to mid second round of super flex drafts if we didn't like the wide receivers there.
You will feel the drop off in your second round when you get to that point where you're like, I don't know who to take. Yeah. That's when you go, okay, well, here's some quarterback talent. What about the guy from Washington? If he's not rostered, the backup quarterback that looked really good for half a game,
Tyler Heineke.
Yeah, Heineken. What about him? If he's available in your super draft league, and you know, he looked good for a minute. He's on a team, you know, that it, let's say they don't draft a quarterback and it's just Ryan Fitzpatrick. Where do you take Tyler Heinicke? Is he like a third round pick if he's available in your rookie draft?
Well, he's not a rookie.
No, but he's there because he's on. He was on waivers.
So you're saying like if it's like one of those drafts where like you see that league that we're in that has that is very rare where you're allowed to draft the veterans too. That's usually not how it's done.
Oh,
but
okay.
if he is in there, yes, I would say he falls. I would say he's probably more of like a third round pick because Fitzpatrick's there, but he probably should be a mid second round pick. It's just that I'm so in love with some of these second round rookie wide receivers like Amon-Ra St. Brown. There's a whole bunch of them that I would rather just take the upside on that I think could have a chance to be starters for your fantasy football team. You know, Shane is mentioning Mund. We talked about him a little bit earlier. He'll easily be one of those guys that you can get in the third round of your super flex drafts. All right. Thanks
those guys on your taxi squad. And one last recommendation, guys, find 12 friends who like fantasy football and start up a dynasty league. If you have questions about rules and how to set one up, hit up Season Long Says on Twitter at Alan Sislowski. You can hit me up. Hit up Says on Twitter. Don't hit me up. Hit up Says on Twitter at Alan Sislowski. He will help you with some
whatever you need. Whatever you need.
Like I'm like, don't hit me up. Hit him up. But
let's wrap it.
You know, if you're in DFS Army, hit me up. I'll help you out with this stuff as well. We love it. I love the format. And like I said, I get the tingles looking at my teams. And shit, it's small money, but I love it. I love the format. This is my first love. I love talking about it. So I hope that comes through on this podcast. And we'll see you guys next time.
If you made it this far, by the way, if you made it this far to the end of the podcast, do us a favor. Help us out. Just click the like button. If you want, click the subscribe button. But just click the like. Leave us a comment. Tell us to go screw ourselves or whatever you want. We're trying to figure out the algorithm to get the podcast out there. So by hitting the like button, hitting the share button, or not at all. It's up to you, but that definitely helps us out. And that's good payment for the value, hopefully, that you got from this podcast today. All right. For the Fantasy Football Geek, I'm Alan Sislowski. We'll be back next week doing round two. I'm making geek study for round two for the Super Bowl. Maybe you'll be ready for it.
Let's get a guest on here to help. Get Byron or one of these.
All right, man.
Get Shane on here. Get somebody who studied harder on those second round picks. I just
all right, brother. We'll talk to you later. Next time. The best coaches in the game, we really ain't playing. We regroup up in the Slack chat where the coaches debrief. We be piecing these puzzles, occupy the chunk of the pie. Ain't